Hi, I'm Pastor Bonnie. I'm the family pastor here at Steele Heights Baptist Church. We've been studying the book of 1 Peter, and last week we looked at living out our hope in a hostile world through submission to human authority, whether it be the emperor, governor, or master. The Lord said through Peter, we are to respect authority. Today, as we look at chapter 3, it is a continuation of this theme, and we will be looking at, dare I say, the most important relationship that we have this side of heaven, that of husband and wife in marriage. If you are not in the married category, I encourage you to pay attention to what Peter has to say. There is something for everyone who follows Jesus Christ and wants to please the Lord. Peter has been showing us as believers in Jesus Christ to be submissive to people in authority. I can recall Padre Gord's words from last Sunday when he said it was the early church and their holy living that lit the church on fire as they lived their godly lives in their hostile world. It speaks to us today. So are you ready to continue lighting the church on fire? In a spiritual sense, of course. As we turn to today's passage, 1 Peter 3, 1-7, there are three things that we are going to keep in mind. First of all, God is our designer, and he knows what is best for us. Secondly, our humanness tends to be in rebellion against God's authority. Third, followers of Jesus Christ are humble servants, recognizing the authority of God and his word. Let's read together 1 Peter 3, 1-7. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right, and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner, and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have given us this passage that talks about marriage and also about all our relationships. May we hear from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was about 8 years old, our family went to Peggy's Cove in Nova Scotia. My parents allowed me to wander around the gift shop, but Dad said, "Be careful," and he pointed to a sign which said, "If you break it, you buy it." I heeded my dad's words to a point. You see, I had a big purse with me, and I was not aware that only a couple of minutes later, the purse would hit the candle holder made of shells. It fell to the floor, and I heard the sound of shattering shells. I was shocked. I picked it up quickly and put it back on the shelf, hoping no one would notice, but my dad had heard the sound of the crash. He came over and said, "If you broke it, you need to buy it." The cost was much greater than the cash I had with me, and I felt my stomach churn because I knew my parents couldn't really afford it either. But Dad graciously topped up the amount I had to pay for it and let me pay him back using months of my allowance. My parents made me repair that candle holder with super glue, and I put it on display in our house. Every time I saw it, I heard my dad's words of integrity, "If you broke it, you need to buy it." As I think back now, I'm so thankful both my parents had this integrity and carried it through into their marriage. Integrity is something I highly value to this day. To those who are married, one of the best legacies you can leave to your family is a marriage where both spouses are living spirit-filled lives, full of integrity, love, forgiveness, peace, patience, and all the other fruit of the Spirit. Peter was a married man, so he speaks to this not only through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, but through firsthand experience. The primary issue Peter tackles, as you'll see, is our relationship to the Lord Jesus. Before we get into the heart of what is needed to build godly relationships, let's deal with the elephant in the room. The word submission. Some of you might be thinking, oh no, I think it's time to go for another cup of coffee or a bathroom break. Well, have no fear. It's not what it may seem. Let's look at a couple of modern-day parables to see what biblical submission is not and what it is. First, what it is not. Grant and Judy were married in a Christian wedding ceremony in the spring of 1994. In the first few years, things were great. Their love was evident to all around them. Grant would read the Bible and pray with Judy. Then as the years went on, something changed. Grant would come home from work and greet Judy and their kids and then go lay on the couch and demand that Judy bring him his supper. She had learned if she didn't do this quickly, he would get angry and yell until she brought it. And it better be hot. Grant would leave his clothes on the bathroom floor, and Judy got so frustrated, she would end up picking them up. Sometimes Judy would pick up the phone, and it was a call for Grant from a collection agency. Grant would whisper, "Tell them I'm not home." And Judy, not wanting to ruffle his feathers, would do so. Grant showed up at home after work a few times with packages, and when she questioned him, he said, "If people aren't going to pick up their mail that's right on their doorstep, I might as well take it." Grant had stopped reading the Bible and praying with Judy, and even though Judy would beg him to do so, he would decline. Judy followed his lead and stopped reading the Bible and praying. Grant was the decision maker for all decisions and would lash out verbally at Judy when angry. Judy decided it was best to remain quiet and cried a lot in her room when Grant went to work. She decided Grant would no longer tell her what to do. She would leave in the morning and take the kids with her. Now let's look at another scenario which shows what biblical submission looks like. Frank and Cecile were married in a wedding ceremony in the winter of 1970. Neither of them had a faith in Jesus Christ. They were very much in love, and everyone could see that. A few years later, in her mom's and Tot's playgroup, Cecile met a mom who was different in some way. Cecile was curious as to why she was so gentle and peaceful, and asked the woman one day what made her so. The woman said she was a follower of Jesus Christ and explained to Cecile how she could become a follower of Jesus too. Cecile made a decision to become a Christian. Cecile decided to keep this decision to herself as she was unsure of how Frank would respond. Within a few months, Cecile became more attractive to Frank. She took the time to listen to his problems and respond with empathy and understanding. They talked about where they would go on their vacation and usually made decisions together. One summer, when they couldn't decide between two places, Cecile let Frank make the final decision. This surprised him. Frank decided he would be a better person too and started doing the dishes after supper. Frank noticed Cecile had been getting out of bed earlier day after day. He finally went to see what she was doing and noticed she was reading the Bible and praying. When their child became very ill, Frank was shaken, but Cecile had a peace about her as they took him to the hospital. Cecile sat holding her son's hand with her eyes closed, and Frank asked, "What are you doing?" Cecile said, "I am praying to God that our son will be safe." The confidence she had made Frank ask her, "How can I have that peace and confidence that you have?" At that moment, Cecile was able to lead her husband to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Frank learned from God's word to cherish Cecile and treated her with gentleness and respect. One day he read Ephesians 5:26, which says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." He was humbled, and he knew he had to start treating her as his priority by making sure her needs were met. We read throughout Scripture that biblical submission is for everyone who follows Jesus Christ. Even Jesus himself submitted to his Father. Now we'll look at three areas Peter brings to light in this particular passage. First of all, seek unity in your home. Christian marriage is a spiritual union, and because of that, it is often rich ground for spiritual warfare. In this passage, Peter speaks primarily to wives who have unbelieving husbands. In the early church, many women were saved, but husbands were not. Peter speaks about wives submitting to the leadership of their own husbands in order to show their husbands what a Christian life looks like. Note, this is not saying wives submit to all men, but to your own husband. A great marriage and a unified home can be had when spouses are best friends. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 teaches us two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls down and has no one to help them up. When we marry, our spouse should be the first person reaching out a helping hand when we're in trouble, and the first person we want to hang out with when things are good. Marriage is sweeter when your spouse is genuinely your best friend. Unity in the home can come from who you put at the center of your home, Jesus Christ. So we are to seek unity in our home. Secondly, wives, seek to be a spirit-filled wife. In the Message, Eugene Peterson writes, "Be good wives to your husbands, responsive to their needs. There are husbands who, indifferent as they are to any words about God, will be captivated by your life of a holy beauty. What matters is not your outer appearance, the styling of your hair, the jewelry you wear, the cut of your clothes, but your inner disposition. Cultivate inner beauty, the gentle, gracious kind that God delights in." It was common in Peter's day for women and men to adorn themselves with fancy hairstyles, jewelry, and fancy clothes. This showed others how important they were. They wanted everyone to pay attention to them. But I'm sure this doesn't happen today. We can be influenced by our culture, thinking, if I'm pretty or handsome enough, they might take me seriously. According to a recent Harvard study, the researcher found women spend an average of $313 per month on their appearance, mostly spent on facials and haircuts. Men spend an average of $244 a month on their appearance, mostly spent on facial moisturizer and gym memberships. Why? We know outward beauty will fade, but inward beauty remains. Peter is not saying, "Oh, you have such beautiful kidneys or a lovely gallbladder, but oh, how I love your beautiful spirit." Despite that, most women spend very little on internal beauty. A man once told a pastor that he was going to divorce his wife. And the pastor said, "I have to admit, your wife is really pretty." And he said, "Yeah, but if you lived with that critical spirit and that attitude very long, you'd see the beauty doesn't last." Being a spirit-filled wife or woman is a priority because all your peace, joy, and contentment will be found in the Lord, not in your husband. You will only develop a gentle and quiet spirit when you are submitted to God. Jesus says to all people, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." As Christian wives and women, our work is to be praying, serving, and modeling Christ. And for those with unbelieving husbands, this could lead to the changing of your husband's heart. But remember, changing his heart is God's work, not yours. Does this mean that women should wear shabby clothing, unkempt hair, no jewelry? I don't think so. But if we depend on our outward beauty to keep the attention of our husband or boyfriend, we're very short-sighted. The world can easily reproduce outward adornment, but it cannot reproduce inner beauty. Proverbs 31:30 says, "Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." So let's get real practical here. how to really love your husband. First of all, if there is a disagreement in decision-making in the home, have him make the final decision. In marriage, God has delegated that the husband is not a dictator, but the leader in the home. The husband and wife discuss, listen to all perspectives, and make decisions together. But when they come down to a point where they cannot arrive at an agreement, the husband is to be recognized as the leader in the home. God planned the family this way. Let's say you came to my house for a party, and the cars were lined up along the street, and you pulled in very close to a fire hydrant. A neighbor came to my door and said, "Someone at your party has parked too close to a fire hydrant. They should move their vehicle, or they might get a ticket." Would you say, "Get lost," and slam the door in the neighbor's face? Or would you ask your friend to move their car? You would more than likely ask your friend to move their car because of your respect for the police department, maybe the fire department. In this case, your neighbor is a delegated authority seeking to protect your interests. According to Scripture, this is the same role God has given husbands. Secondly, be responsive to your husband's needs. Here are a few examples. If he needs a listening ear, be there for him and be his safe place, and do not share his words with others. Be kind, give him space when he needs it, and intimacy when he's not expecting it. Forgive and let go of past hurts. Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, said, "The secret to a great marriage is two good forgivers." Third, respect him. When a man feels like his wife respects him, that's a real source of encouragement, and his wife becomes increasingly beautiful to him. Putting him down in public has the opposite effect. Cultivate your inner beauty, the gentle, gracious kind that God delights in. Those guys who are looking for a wife, are you looking just at the outward appearance, or those women with an inner beauty? What is precious in the sight of God is an inner devotion. To wives who have an unbelieving husband, you will not win him over by rebelling against him, putting him down and saying, "I'm praying for you today," by playing the pastor's sermons loudly in your home, or by leaving a little verse of scripture tucked under his pillow. The way to influence your husband is to have such a cooperative, gentle spirit that he says, "Jesus Christ is making a difference in her life. The church is making her more pleasant to live with. I think I'll investigate." Put Christ on display in your life and have God win his heart. I would imagine by now some of you are thinking, "Pastor Bonnie, do you really know my husband? Really?" I recently heard someone say, we have grown up in a society that keeps men as boys. As followers of Christ, we need to believe that our husbands can lead and encourage them when they do. Wives may say, "But I've been praying for this for years. It doesn't work. How long did Sarah pray for a son?" And we need to check ourselves. What is our inner beauty like? Are we being the fragrance of Christ to him? We may be the only example of Christ our spouse sees. So submit to Christ and make it genuine. Women, seek to be spirit-filled women. Next, let's look at seeking to be a spirit-filled husband. The same goes for you husbands. Be good husbands to your wives. Honor them, delight in them. As women, they may not be as physically strong, but in the new life of God's grace, you're equals. The word honor or respect here is the same verb used when giving honor to the king. So husbands, your wives are to be treated like royalty. You are to put the interest and feelings of your wife ahead of your own. That's hard to do because we are, by nature, proud. This means you put the interests of your wife ahead of your ball games and your golf matches and your job and everything else except your relationship with God. The example is that of Jesus Christ. That's exactly what he did for us. He put our interests ahead of his own and went to the cross for us. As we saw earlier, Ephesians 5 says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for the church." As we go on in this verse in 1 Peter, it says, "Treat your wives then as an equal heir to God's kingdom, so your prayers don't run aground." If Christian men treat their wives wrongly, Peter is saying their prayers will be hindered. God is not going to listen to you when you treat a person, the person that is most important in your life, with disrespect. Some Christian husbands maintain a respectful appearance at church, but at home sin terribly against their wives and children, in anger, injustice, selfishness, and worse. God has no intention for this, for his daughters or his little ones to live lives of fear and terror under the thumb of oppressive husbands. Peter says, "Husbands, you can't hide from God. To be a spirit-filled husband is to express Christ's unconditional love to your wife." Let's look at how to really love your wife. First of all, be the spiritual leader in your home. Husbands, you are not to be a general and have your wife or children salute you and say, "Yes, sir," every time you speak. But husbands wonder, "What am I supposed to do then? Act like a preacher?" Where does a husband look for a model of spiritual leadership? You can look to Jesus Christ. If husbands are looking to Jesus Christ as our model, this can only mean one thing. The husband is supposed to be servant leader. Jesus put it this way, "But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant." Jesus served and gave his life for us. This means the husband looks at the needs of his family and is a servant leader to them. Secondly, we can give her security. Husbands, you are to reach out to meet your wife's needs and help her become the person she desires to become. She must be able to trust you completely. Husbands, become a student of your wives. Find out what her love language is and speak it. Likewise, wives, find out your husband's love language and speak that. Third, make sure she's valued. She feels valued. Don't get tripped up on the scripture about your wife being the weaker vessel. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, we see the same word, vessels of clay, relating to our bodies. In general, the woman has the weaker body. And I believe this is what Peter is referring to. So here we have two vessels. A coffee mug worth probably 50 cents. And this is a China teacup that is probably worth a lot more. Although it is the weaker of the two vessels, it is the more precious of the two. Your wife is valuable, and you must treat her as so. Take the initiative to do things for her, as Christ took the initiative to do things for the church. Treat her with gentleness and respect. Treat her as one with whom you will share eternity. She is an heiress to the kingdom of God, just as you are. And lastly, cherish her. Gary Thomas, in his book Cherish, says, "To truly cherish something means to go out of your way to show it off, protect it, and honor it. If you cherish your wife, you want others to affirm and recognize the value you see in her. Pray for her. She should be thriving under your leadership." As we saw in verse 7, there is a direct connection between how you treat your wife and your relationship with God. So cherish her. In marriage, when you have a spirit-filled wife and a spirit-filled husband, I'm not saying that your relationship will be perfect. Only God is perfect. But you will bring honor to Jesus Christ as you demonstrate unity. Others will look at your marriage and say, "That's how God designed the family to be." In a movie called Fireproof, it looks at the lives of a couple, Caleb and Catherine, whose marriage is crumbling. Caleb is challenged to do a 40-day love dare, where he does one nice thing a day for Catherine. In the pivotal scene halfway through this love dare, Caleb's father says, "Caleb, if I were to ask you why you're so frustrated with Catherine, what would you say?" "She's stubborn. She makes everything difficult for me. She's ungrateful. She's constantly griping about something." His father says, "And has she thanked you for anything you've done for the past 20 days? And you think after I wash the car, do the dishes, clean the house, that she would try to show me a little bit of gratitude? Well, she doesn't. In fact, when I come home, she makes me feel like an enemy. I'm not even welcome in my own home, Dad. That's what really ticks me off. Dad, for the last 3 weeks, I've bent over backward for her. I've tried to demonstrate that I still care about this relationship. I bought her flowers, which she threw away. I did everything I could to show my love for her, and she spat in my face. She does not deserve this, Dad. I'm not doing it anymore. How am I supposed to show love to someone over and over and over who constantly rejects me?" Then the camera pans over to a cross. Caleb needed to look to Jesus. Caleb could not love his wife because he couldn't give her what he didn't have. He had to know Christ's unconditional love and make the decision to love Catherine, whether she deserved it or not, just like Christ loved him. When Jesus changed Caleb's life, he was able to truly begin to love Catherine. Now, this pandemic has put a focus on the home. I believe what the world needs is a renewal on the family level. Jesus can change our marriages and our families. This takes prayer, husbands and wives praying together, families praying together, and singles praying. Yes, this takes humility, but then Jesus can take his rightful place in the home again. Surrender to Christ, and your way of living will be transformed as you journey with him. Let's look at some points of application. To those who are single, what is the main thing Peter is trying to say here? Be a spirit-filled follower of Jesus Christ. God is calling you to a life of singleness. If he is, make it your aim to please God through the power of his Holy Spirit. As Billy Graham said, our church is not like Noah's Ark. If you're not paired, you're impaired. You, as a single person, are loved. Secondly, to those who are in Christian marriages, look outside of yourself. Husband, your wife, is not there simply to meet your needs. She's your partner in life, and you are to cherish her. Wife, give your husband leadership and respect. May you both purpose in your heart today to seek unity in your home. And to those who may be married to spouses who are not believers, you cannot nag your spouse into the kingdom of heaven. You have to win them with the sweetness of Jesus coming from your inner life. And to those who are seeking marriage, to women, if your boyfriend or fiancé is not treating you like a queen now, don't expect him to do so in your marriage. To men, look to the inner life of your girlfriend or fiancé rather than just her outward appearance. Is her inner life beautiful? It will be amazing to say in the future, it is those believers in Northeast Edmonton and their holy living, their godly marriages, and Christ-centered families that lit the church on fire. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, the more we meditate on your word, the more godly our character grows, the better our marriages and other relationships will be. Forgive us for our selfishness. Work in us to submit to you and exhibit the fruit of your Spirit. And let us live out our hope in you in all our relationships. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in this place. I worship you. I worship you.
You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Touching every heart, I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you.
You are here,
turning lives around.
Waymaker for marriages, for all our relationships. He says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The Lord bless you and keep you safe. Amen."